Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q3 FY16 results conference call of Bharat Forge Limited. We have with us today Mr. Amit Kalyani, Executive Director. We will start the call with all participant lines in a listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of today's call. If you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your phone. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kalyani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bharat Forge Q3 conference call. I hope everybody can hear me clearly. It was a little unclear at my end, so if it's unclear for anybody, please let the operator or let us know. I'll get started with a quick introduction and then we'll open up for Q&A. In terms of total revenue for the quarter, we did a revenue of 1,050 crores, which is a reduction of about 6% over last quarter and about 12% over last year. EBITDA was 330 crores, which is 1.8% lower than last quarter and about 10% lower than last year. EBITDA margin was strong at 31.4%, and our PBT before exchange gain or loss was 263 crores, which is about 4% lower than last year. Last quarter and 9.5% lower than last year. If you look at the 9 months, our revenue was almost 3,300 crores, which is almost the same as last year. Our EBITDA is about 3.7% higher, and our PBT is about 8.8% higher. Highlights for the quarter would be that, you know, we've seen growth in our automotive revenues, both on the passenger and the commercial vehicle side. We've tried to maximize our revenues in these sectors by quickly reacting to customer requirements, developing new products, and ramping up production wherever needed for both forged and machined products for India and for abroad. In spite of this, this is what has caused us to grow our business in the commercial vehicle sector and the automotive sector at a higher rate than the underlying markets. Unfortunately, the weakness in the industrial sector, both domestically and internationally, continues unabated, and this is largely driven by the commodity price weaknesses. We have been trying to work with our customers in developing new products, meeting whatever niche requirements they have, and adding more value to the products we supply, even in these sectors, and thereby maintain our revenues at some level and create a pipeline that can help us grow this number going forward. We are continuing our product development process both for export markets and domestic markets. In the export markets, you are aware that we are focusing a lot on the passenger car segment. Here we have had significant wins on the engine component side, and we are now starting to see some wins on the powertrain side as well. And the combination of these two will help us post strong double-digit growth in this market segment in the next 2 years going forward, continuously. Our revenues in the PV sector have grown by 20%, and it's now 9% of our total sales as compared to 7% last year. And we are working to move these products also up the value chain and add machining to the process going forward as well. We are starting to see some orders in new segments such as renewable energy, such as marine, such as the Make in India space, and these are all encouraging signs. In fact, in the Make in India space, we have won sample orders for mining, for power, and for shipbuilding, and this is in addition to the large orders which we have already won for the rail sector. And all this put together should provide us a platform to be able to grow this business very substantially going forward. The Make in India platform combined with import substitution is a strong push market for us, where we are engaging with end customers across the country in order to leverage whatever opportunities there may be, and doing very rapid product development, including using modern advanced manufacturing technologies and digital manufacturing technologies like 3D printing in order to create prototypes for them. Our industrials business is down by about 40% over last year, and is now at about 33% of sales. And we expect that in the near term this will remain soft, but as we start developing new products and expand the scope of our supply, we will get back onto the growth path here as well. Going forward into Q4, we expect business to be at a similar level as Q3, and obviously there are some triggers which may be positive, such as with the budget coming up and a lot of talk about the scrappage scheme being introduced for heavy commercial vehicles older than 15 years, which are, you know, polluting our cities. And this is in line with, you know, our green mission, the COP21 signed in Paris, and giving a boost to manufacturing. So hopefully this is something that a lot of people are expecting and hoping for, which could provide a further stimulus and provide a positive growth for the market underlying. A lot of people have asked questions about the US market, commercial vehicle next year. The US market has varied between a number of 140,000 and about 320,000 to 340,000 over the last decade, both ends being aberrations, but the forecast for next year is a number somewhere in the region of 270,000 to 275,000, which is for this year, sorry, which is the year 16, which is at the upper end of the overall scale, and that's a very comfortable number for most OEMs as well as suppliers, and a number that I think is good for the industry as well. The markets for India should show strong to reasonable growth, between 7% and 8%, and Europe should be positive. The passenger car markets in Europe and the US will be positive. India will be pretty positive, 6% to 7%, and I think even the Chinese passenger car markets are positive. So this should give you a sense of where the markets are. In terms of some of our new initiatives, our aerospace market is taking off fairly well. In fact, we will start commercial shipments of our aerospace products in this quarter, and hope to ramp this up very substantially next year. So I think that's all I really have to say. I would be happy to now take your questions.
Certainly, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the question and answer session. Participants using speakerphones are requested to use the handset when asking questions. To enter the question and answer queue, please press star and 1 on your phone now. If you'd like to withdraw your question and exit the queue, please press star and 1 again. We have a first question from Vasudev Banerjee from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, congrats, sir, for a decent set of numbers and very strong margins in present circumstance.
Were you able to hear me when I was talking clearly?
Not clearly, but audible enough, sir.
Because I'm having a hard time hearing you all. Maybe just talk a little slowly, that's all.
Sir, under present circumstance where crude prices are at such levels, US truck, mining machinery, everything is in shambles broadly. How do you see yourself placed to reach the target figure of 7,000 crore by FY18 presently, taking the metal deflationary scenario into account also?
You know, I think you have to look at the long-term secular trend. Yes, these are definitely very difficult times. But as we mentioned last quarter, you know, we still aim to achieve that figure through a combination of all the initiatives that we have going on right now, plus, you know, the Make in India, plus some of the other new initiatives in aerospace and defense, etc., that we have launched in terms of component supply.
Sure, sir.
So, you know, I would not want to change that figure. I think we should still maintain that figure and work very hard towards achieving that.
So that's great, sir. That's what I wanted to know. Any change in stance in last one quarter with global outlook further deteriorating? Second thing, sir, with present volume levels, what is the overall utilization level, sir, presently?
Yeah, utilization levels are not very high. Our Pune facility is right now at about 70%. It's running at about 70%.
And what is your plan capex for FY17 at present scenario then?
We actually have no major capex in 17. except for what we will do in the area of R&D and technology development, and some small facilities for value addition wherever needed. So, you know, I would say it's probably somewhere in the 100 crore region.
Okay, sir. And sir, last question is, out of the exports, how much has been the non-auto this quarter?
Just 1 second. It's only 200 crores.
200
crores.
Yeah. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Kapil Singh from Nomura Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Wanted to check how has the domestic non-auto revenues behaved, and when do you see visibility of this segment starting to grow again?
See, domestic non-auto was also down this quarter, but we expect that this sector will start growing in line with our Make in India, and we have a lot of orders now both from railways. And we're starting to get our sample orders from mining, from power sector, and from the shipbuilding sector. So all these will provide a solid boost to our non-auto business in India and will provide us a very good growth platform.
So just to
And you know, there are other sectors in India, such as the defense and aerospace sector for components, which is basically the service requirements, which we have not even touched yet. Once we start attempting those, that becomes a huge new opportunity for us.
Sir, at this point, how much order book do we already have from some of these new segments?
These are all sample orders. Except for railways, everything else is sample order. So, you know, they are on the order of 20-30 crores, that's all.
Okay. So, would it be fair to assume that the major ramp-up may take like something like 6-8 months before it starts to reflect?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, got it. And we've seen, you know, some impact on revenue growth because of metal prices as well. So just wanted your thoughts on, you know, how much impact would have been on revenue growth because of commodity prices year on year. And also there has been some news reports of minimum import prices. So does that affect your margins in any way?
No, the minimum import prices really is mainly on flat products and on TMT. It's not really on alloy steel. So it really does, the minimum import price doesn't affect us. And the deflationary impact of the steel price would be somewhere in the region of about between, depending on grade, it would be somewhere between 2 and 3,000 rupees.
Got it. And lastly, was there any one-time provision for Bonus Act?
Yes, there was a one-time provision for Bonus Act of little over 4 crores and another 4 crores which is for previous years, which is shown as an exceptional item, 42 million.
Okay, so the 4 crores for this year reflects in employee?
In the cost.
Okay, thanks. That will be all. I'll come back in the queue.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Singh. Next in queue is Pranoy Kurian from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to understand the European market. If I look at the CV, heavy CV registration for Q3, so those sales are up 15-16%. So what is your auto, how's your auto segment doing in Europe?
Our auto segment in Europe has grown. I don't have it broken up, but I have all of Europe, which has grown by about 4%.
That includes, so that includes non-auto as well?
Yes. Yes, okay. That includes non-auto as well.
But are you broadly growing in line with the market?
Absolutely.
In terms of CVs and all that?
Absolutely.
Because that's been growing at 15-16%, so wondering if it will reflect
later. That is only
later.
Right now. I mean, you know, it's from a degrowth to a growth.
Okay. And just, you were mentioning CapEx earlier. So what's the guidance for 17-18? Is it now reduced from earlier? I think you had given a guidance of 1,000 crore over 3 years. So is that now reduced?
You know, we don't have a visibility on 17-18. All I can say is 16-17, we are not going to have much CapEx to the order of maybe 100 crores.
Okay, fine. fine. All right, that's it from my end.
Thank you. Next in queue is Pramod Amte from CIMB Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Amit. This is with regard to the domestic operations, which seems to be pretty weak compared to the volume trend. Is it all to do with the weakness in the industrial segment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's our non-auto has come down quite drastically.
Okay. And in the overseas
and some of our industrial sectors, such as, you know, the diesel engines that we make for that we supply into, like the big Cummins engines, etc., which are also down.
Okay. And in the overseas subsidiaries, you have given a comment that the reason for loss is for one of operation related issues. Can you dwell more into it and what you have fixed and what benefits do you expect?
Yeah, so we have turned around our Swedish subsidiary. It's now profitable and operating well. Our aluminum technique business, the new plant is now back to operate. Now it's operating at the level that we had envisaged it and projected it to be. In our CDP operation, we had some one-time restructuring charges, which we have taken. And we had some large, you know, like refurbishment expenses of some of our equipment. You know, these come once in 10 years, so these were some major expenses. So these are what we have taken, and this is over, and we expect this year to be a good year.
Okay, this is predominantly for CDP.
Yeah, but in spite of this, we will still have positive cash flow in CDP, and the next year we should see a good performance.
Okay, and when you're looking at the powertrain entry in the car business, this will be starting with the forged components and later on into the machining, or?
No, we will start with forged and machining at the same time.
Okay, sure. Thanks and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have a question from Amin Tirani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was on your net debt. This has remained quite flattish over the last 9 months, despite strong EBITDA. So is this on account of increase in working capital, or has the capex this year in the first 9 months been higher than expected?
So we have had some We have had some payments of our previous capex that have happened now. Plus, okay, there is reval of the debt which has taken place, you know, from 61, 62 rupees to 67, 68 rupees. So
okay,
that both the combination of both of these has created this.
Okay, okay. And sir, you mentioned that your industrial business was down 40% YOY. So you're talking about 3Q or for the 9 months as a whole?
No, 3Q.
3Q. And so just on the aerospace, you mentioned that you will be starting the supply of the orders from this quarter. And you have mentioned in the past that you are expecting $100 million kind of a number over a period of time.
Yes.
Could you give us some sense as to what kind of a ramp-up could be there in fiscal 17 based on the orders? I mean, could it be in the range of 10 to 20 or could it be higher? I mean, some broad understanding.
Yeah, it will be in the 10 to 20 range. You know, from 1 to 2 million, it's going to multiply into the 10 to 20 range.
Okay. And so, on the India side, you said that on the railway side, you've already, you know, won quite a few orders. So, are you starting those, like, from next year, or is there still some lead time for that?
On the railways, we have started small shipments from this year.
Okay.
But we will see a major jump in the railway revenue from next year.
In fiscal 17?
Yes, fiscal 16-17.
Okay, yeah. Sir. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity.
Because, you know, it will not just be the one product. We'll have more products and higher volume also.
Okay. Fair enough. That's helpful.
Thank you. Next in queue is Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of housekeeping questions. First is with respect to our USD INR realization for the quarter. Hello?
It's about 67.5.
Okay. And secondly, what would be our overall non-auto revenues for the quarter?
330 crores.
Okay. So secondly, would you throw some light on this Rafael JV, which we just announced today, in terms of what would be our stake and scope of that JV?
There we are 51%. And
okay.
and that is also through Kalyani Strategic Systems.
Right.
Okay, which is a subsidiary of Bharat Forge.
Right.
And that is an area that is in the area of high tech electronics, control systems, and you know, other platforms for the defense. And this is just, don't be confused that this is not the Rafale from the aircraft from France. This is Rafale, which is a defense company from Israel.
Okay. And this JV would now start seeking orders from the defense side.
We have already submitted RFQs and are in the race for a couple of orders, because this is something that Rafale has been doing and now it has been folded into the JV.
Okay. Right. And coming back to the auto business, we have seen a very sharp growth in U.S. Passenger vehicle business in the first 9 months. What would be the size of that business now? I mean, 112% odd growth is very good, but is it now sizable business for us? Hello? Hello,
Mr. Kalyani. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay on the line. We are checking the line of Mr. Amit Kalyani. Thank you. Participants are requested to stay on the line. Please welcome Mr. Kalyani back in the call. Mr. Gandhi, please proceed.
Yeah. Yes, sir. My question was pertaining to U.S. passenger vehicle segment, which we have grown at 110% in first 9 months. Do we expect ramp up to be further in terms of similar growth rate, or base is now catching up? Hello?
Give me a moment, please.
Yeah.
Call that character, no? He's sitting outside.
Mr. Kalyani?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, you're online.
Yeah. What is the problem?
So my team is checking, sir. Sorry about the scene.
Yeah, this is really disturbing. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Mr. Gandhi, this is the ramp up of our passenger car crankshaft business. You know, there will be three phases of our passenger car growth. First is, you know, build a base, expand the business, ramp up the business. Then we'll add value to this. And then we will look at new ancillary, let's say auxiliary businesses and adjacent businesses to this, which we can add and then further grow the basket.
Okay.
So that will provide us, you know, many years of growth going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. And our aluminum forging supplies have started from BFAT?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And lastly, in terms of CAPEX for FY16, what are we planning to invest in FY16?
You know, really, we don't have much of a CAPEX plan. I would say somewhere in the region of about 100 crores.
Even for FY16?
FY17.
Okay. Because in last call, I think we had indicated about 1,000 crore of CAPEX for FY16 to 18.
Yeah, but you know, right now we don't need that much CAPEX, so we can look at reworking that as and when needed.
Okay, okay, understood. Okay, so thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations, you know, for a good set of numbers in this challenging environment. My question is on the margin side. It's a positive surprise that your margins have actually expanded on a sequential basis. Could you talk a little bit about what drove that expansion? And secondly, in light of a weaker rupee and slowing exports, how do you see them playing out over the next 2-3 years? Because it does seem from your guidance that India will probably do better in the coming years than the exports.
You know, we are putting a relentless effort on cost reduction. We are putting a lot of focus on productivity. Obviously, the currency, the commodity prices have helped, and value addition has helped. So, a combination of these plus growing your top line is really going to help us with our margins. You know, we are not going to be content with the top line being where it is because, you know, we have significantly larger capacities and larger ambitions than where we are today. There is an opportunity to grow your business, and we will definitely access those opportunities. So we have a pretty good idea of what we want to do to grow our business, and including the export business, and you know, we will achieve that. It takes a few quarters to hit once the reset button is hit, but I think we will get back to the growth in a couple of quarters.
Sir, in that context, where would you see your margins like from a slightly longer term perspective?
You know, I think I would never want to speculate that our margins will be substantially different than where they are today. As I've mentioned on a previous call, you know, 28% to 30%, 28.5% to 30.5%, you know, that is a margin. You know, 200 to 50 basis points is a kind of a range that we are comfortable with.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you ramp up a new program, you often have to, you know, you don't have the best cost structure. But as you get better at making parts, then the cost structure gets better.
Right. No, that's helpful. So basically, you're broadly maintaining that range of 28 to 31% or so.
Yeah.
And so secondly, a more general question, like we do notice that steel prices in China have collapsed more than what we see in India. Does that in any way impact your competitiveness globally? Or now those vendors are in your competitive landscape?
No, you know, we are in a very specialized steel space. So even in China, there are very few approved companies that actually make the kind of steel that we do. And the ones that do make it at the quality and the standards that we, you know, require it at, are not that much cheaper on a landed basis than the Indian players.
Right. Okay. Okay. So not much of an impact for you.
The good news is that it also keeps the Indian steel companies in, you know, behaving well. It doesn't allow them to, you know, run amok with prices. So our prices and steel prices in India are fairly competitive now as compared to globally.
Right. Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Sanjay Satpathy from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations once again for the fantastic margin level that you have maintained despite volume going down. Just on this passenger vehicle side where you mentioned that it has grown, I'm a little confused. Is it entirely USA or it is US plus Europe?
It's US, Europe and Southeast Asia. It's global exports.
Okay. And so can you give us the number, like how much is the revenue for this quarter?
Yeah, it's there.
So the growth number something like this.
Q3 PASCAR. No, it's about 50 crores.
Is the exports amount?
Yeah.
Okay, and total domestic is.
Sorry?
And domestic is PV in domestic, sir?
That's about 38 crores.
Okay. And sir, the other thing just wanted to understand from you that your domestic non-auto was doing pretty well till September quarter. I mean, is there any special reason for it to suddenly come off, like some inventory correction or something?
No, it's just basically the whole, you know, commodity cycle has, you know, finally hit, and I think there is an inventory correction taking place right now. And, you know, we expect that from the second quarter, we should start seeing a resumption in growth in the domestic market as well.
Okay. So basically this kind of run rate which you guided that will continue in Q4 and may continue in Q1 as well, and from Q2 FY17.
I don't know. Q4 at least is looking more or less like this as of now. Hopefully, you know, there are some positive changes which we are all hoping for in the near future. But as
sir, is that the reason why you have brought down your CapEx guidance? Or?
Absolutely, because we don't need the capacity.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have a question from Monica Joshi from Bajaj Alliance Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Kalyani, for taking this question. Just wanted a clarification. So we are maintaining the 7,000 crore top line for FY18, is it?
As of now, yes.
Okay. So when this target or guidance was given, how much was dependent on the CapEx coming up?
How much was dependent on?
On the CapEx coming up. I believe there was a 1,000 crore CapEx which was announced.
Yeah, we were going to do a 1,000 crore CapEx. And, you know, out of that 1,000 crore, we will probably end up doing something in the region of 600-700 crores. And if we need more, we can always do more. Because, you know, the product mix is very, the revenue is very dependent on product mix, and CapEx also depends on product mix.
I understand that, sir. What we are trying to get a sense of is we have brought down our CapEx by at least 50%, but we are maintaining our revenue growth, and we are looking at this 25 to 28% CAGR over the next 2 years, operating at a 70% utilization currently.
So yes.
Our understanding here is that some part of that 7,000 crore guidance would have been dependent on CapEx. So
yes,
how much
but we have currently got CapEx under installation, which is, you know, already part of the CapEx we have spent. We have two press lines coming up. We have machining lines coming up. So we have plenty of capacity that is coming up. Plus what we are doing is we are debottlenecking. So you got to understand, when you're on a high growth trajectory, you always try to create CapEx to give you some headroom. You'd always create CapEx to give you at least 10-20% headroom above what you want to achieve. But when you're not growing at the same level, you don't necessarily need the same headroom. Plus, when you don't have to grow at the same speed, you can always spend the time and debottleneck and create more capacity out of your existing facilities by increasing productivity. It's always the challenge between time and, you know, what you can achieve out of it.
Okay, thank you so much.
But, you know, the end result is you will have better capital efficiency.
We have a next question from Samir Deshpande from Fairdeal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. See,
yes.
Congratulations for a good set of numbers in this environment. Now, regarding this North American commercial vehicle market, there seems to be a slowdown, and you have also acknowledged, I think, in your release, saying that due to a very high growth rates prevailing over the last few years, now the market is substantially weak. So, I think...
No, we have not said it's substantially weak. We have said that it is operating at a more normal level of 270,000, which is still at the higher end of the overall range that the North American market operates at.
And how much is the revenue, our revenue from North America, particularly in this segment?
Our revenue from North America for the quarter was about 400 crores. Achha. Overall.
Overall it is 400 crores. And you mentioned something, 3,30,000 or 40,000, it was earlier. Volume.
That was number of vehicles.
Number of vehicles, and it is 2,70,000, which is likely to be now going forward.
Yes, this was year 16. And last year was 3,20,000.
3,20,000. So, now it is a bit 15-20% lower. That is the
yes.
only.
Yes.
And regarding our joint venture with Alstom, etc., which we had done a few years back, has it commenced any activity?
Yes, we have started production and we have, you know, our installation of our Solapur units is progressing very well. In fact, we should be completing the installation this year.
Achha. So, that revenues, etc. will start coming in 16-17?
Yes, we had some revenue recognition last year also, but we will have more this year.
Achha. And the Europe business, you are expecting to do well, pretty well in Europe, in the commercial vehicle, etc. But overall, our subsidiaries, the margins have shrunk by about 2% in this quarter. So is it due to
I mentioned that we had some one-time maintenance and maintenance-related charges.
Okay.
Refurbishment charges for one of our large press lines, which comes like once in 10-15 years, which was a major expense.
Okay.
So that is actually what we have charged off to P&L.
What was the idea? Any idea about the figure for that?
Figure. No, we don't want to share that right now, but it was a substantial figure.
So it will help us going forward. It is being a one-time thing from next quarter, etc.
It will come in the bag. It will come in the annual report.
Okay.
Or you can contact our finance guy separately.
Okay. I will get in touch with them. All the best.
Thank you. Next in queue is Priya Ranjan from Systematic. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of questions on first on Baramati capacity utilization.
I don't have a figure for Baramati, I'm sorry, but it's very low. Below 50%.
Below 50.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about ramp up of the railway business, how dependent we are on the Marhara plant coming on stream?
Zero. This is Indian Railways existing demand.
Okay. And if Marhara plant comes in, then
that adds whatever divided by 1,000 divided by how many ever years they are going to ramp up over, multiplied by 1.2.
Okay. So that will give additional business. So
yes.
Given the existing base of railway business, where we can go from here on, in next 2-3 years?
Railways is a very, very large opportunity for us. As we've mentioned, this is an opportunity that could be several hundred crores in size. Our first target is to take it to 100 crores and then grow it from there. And I think we are very well placed to take it to 100 crores in the next 2 years.
Okay. So 100 crore by FY18?
Yeah, easily.
Okay.
Possibly more.
And can you just give us sense on what kind of consumable opportunities existing in the defense business for us, for particularly?
One is, if you look at the tanks and all the treaded vehicles, the wheels and the track assemblies are consumable. Then you have items like barrels, which are consumable. You have other significant consumables on BMPs, on aircraft, on helicopters, lot of parts which have life in terms of hours are all consumable parts.
Hello.
Yeah.
If you aggregate all those, where we can actually supply immediately, what kind of business opportunity or market size can happen?
Market size is very large, but you can't supply anything immediately because, especially when you're dealing with aircraft, an aircraft that is not made in your country, there is a lot of approval cycle involved.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for the armed forces, you know, we are starting to see a ramp up in demand, and hopefully, you know, again, the three-digit number is something that we have to hit very quickly, and I think we're very close to that. I think maybe either this year or early next year, we should hit that figure.
The three-digit means 100 crore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so this will be particularly for barrels, wheels, etc.
It's basically all the consumables.
Okay.
These are not project supplies. These are, you know, maintenance supplies.
And in the US, particularly since Daimler is one of the key customers, so we are supplying through Detroit Diesel or we are supplying directly to Daimler?
We supply to Detroit Diesel is Daimler because they are the engine manufacturers of Daimler.
Because what I can get a sense that they have got some new competitor has come in for their futuristic model. So have we lost some kind of market share there? Future.
We have supplied all their futuristic cranks and they are all made in, all the engines are made by Detroit Diesel.
Okay, but we are not there in axles.
We supply axles also.
Okay.
For axle but, alliance.
Okay. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have a question from Aditya Sundaram from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I just had a couple of questions. I don't know if you alluded to this in the beginning of the call. The reception was pretty bad. I just wanted to know on the in the Class 8 truck growth for this quarter, at least I've got the sales numbers here. It's been about -5% considering production is more or less the same. Our growth in the US has gone down by about 18%. So why exactly is that? We have seen a similar phenomenon actually in the European heavy commercial vehicles and the passenger car segment there, and our basically our growth in terms of geographical revenue has fallen more than the market there. So you could just explain why that is?
In the US you have an inventory effect.
And a non-auto effect.
Yeah. In the if you see the truck market really changed in the November-December time frame. And,
sure.
And that change was very sudden.
Right.
The market was planning for a much higher number, like a 320 number on a continual basis, and we have a longer cycle than the market. So it's basically an inventory factor that will take about two, three, four months to resolve. But otherwise, there's now no other problem other than this. And as far as European is concerned, it's more due to the non-auto businesses.
Okay, and I know you shared the number. The overall non-auto for the quarter is about 320?
330, yeah.
330, okay. And what would be the India non-auto figure in this, if you could share that as well?
130.
All right, sir. And I just wanted to know, basically, on the subsidiary front, you mentioned that there is obviously a one-off here in terms of excessive refurbishment and all. So considering that on a Q-on-Q basis at least, would the margin have been steady if I were to get rid of that number? So you said you could not share that number, but would the sequential margin be more or less steady at 6.5%?
Yeah, I think it would have been the same, yes.
It more or less would have been the same?
Yes.
Okay. And okay, fine. I think that's it from me, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Kalyani for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your interest and your questions. You know, we are very heartened by your presence on our con call. And please feel free to contact any of us during, you know, the next few days if you have any questions. I would only like to say one more thing that, ladies and gentlemen, Bharat Forge is participating in the Make in India show in Mumbai, which is at the MMRDA ground in BKC. We are showing, in addition to the products that we make, a lot of our digital manufacturing technologies, and both our chairman and I and a lot of my management team will be present both on the 13th and the 14th. So please try and visit our booth and you will get an opportunity to see not only what we are doing in a variety of new areas like oil and gas, aerospace, rail, defense, but also what digital manufacturing technologies we are deploying and what capabilities we have created in the last few years. We are in hall number 3,5. Actually, we'll put all the details on our website, so please. We'll put all the details on our website also, and If anybody needs to get a pass or an invite or something, please email us. I'm sure you all are all well connected enough to be able to get into this Make in India Expo, but we would very much welcome you. The only thing I will say is that please avoid the 11 to 1, 11 to 1:30 time on the 13th, because that is when the Prime Minister of India and three other Prime Ministers are going to accompany him. So it will be a little bit of a problem at that time. But anytime after that, we will be present, and the whole exhibition runs till the 18th. This is in the Make in India Center at MMRDA grounds, Bandra Kurla Complex. We are hall number 3,5, booth number 5.1. Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing many of you there and answering more of your questions and interacting with you in person. Thank you and have a good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude your conference for today. We thank you for your participation and for using iJunction Conference Service. Please disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a great evening.